trusting once again in the help of the Lord. We'll turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 11 and 12. The prophecy of Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, the 11th and the 12th verses. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. We have, dear friends, in these closing two verses of this wonderful prophecy, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, a prophecy and that you could almost expect, and the prophet Isaiah and saw all that the dear Lord endured, suffered, bled and died, how he was so cruelly refused, rejected and despised and esteemed not. And he comes to the close of this wonderful prophecy, and he says, first of all, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Just a word, my dear friends, because here is set before us two great things, and these two great things, and they are the sufferings of the dear Lord, and the glory that followed. And the dear Apostle Peter in his first epistle, he says this: searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ. And not only the sufferings of Christ, but and the glory that should follow. Dear friends, what human tongue can hardly begin to speak of these wonderful things that of course are so vital to our salvation? And then he goes on to say, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you. Oh, it's a wonderful thing, my dear friends, if these things are ministered unto you and I, the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that shall follow. Dear friends, you may know a path of sufferings, and although of course it can hardly be compared to the sufferings of Christ, but those sufferings, dear friend, I believe will bring us into that way whereby the Holy Spirit will grant us a little of that sweet fellowship of those sufferings. You know, it doesn't say those sufferings will be explained to us, but it says the fellowship of that suffering, because I believe, my dear friends, that the greater part of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ will be made known to his dear people and when they enter into eternal glory. But there are those things, dear Lord, dear friends, and that we may be able, by the light, the teaching, and the help of the Holy Spirit, and to just feel and know just a little of what the dear Lord suffered, bled, and died for guilty sinners such as you and I. But unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Then he comes to another great point. He says this: which things the angels desire to look into. You see, we can see the great extent of these words, which I believe I can say, I would have rather perhaps had something which may have been not so the magnitude of them. And brings many fears, and undoubtedly, the dear servants of the Lord who are with us, they know something of the magnitude of these things, and they feel to be so unequal to even speak about them. But if those things, dear friend, have been laid upon our minds, We dare not do anything else but to bring them before ourselves first, as the Holy Spirit will help us in our meditation, and also to bring them before the hearers, seeking that the dear Lord and will make them profitable unto their never dying souls. Because you see, those holy angels, those angels that kept their first estate, they desire to look into those things that I brought before you this afternoon. And the first thing is, he that is, of course, as I don't think there's any need for me to say it, but I will say it. He is nothing less than the second glorious person in the Trinity, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, who came into this world and was a partaker of our flesh. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now, I believe there are four things that I just briefly want to lay before you and myself, because our text speaks of travail. Now, travail, my dear friends, very briefly sets before us pain and sorrow. That pain and sorrow, and that the dear Lord endured when he was fulfilling that glorious office that he engaged himself according to the will of the Father in that office as his dear people surety, we can never fully comprehend. I very often refer to things of a similar nature where we poor ministers may feel that we can speak only of a little drop, because it seemed to be set before us as a mighty ocean. But oh dear friend, if you and I have been taught and brought by the Holy Spirit to see just a little of that sorrow and that pain that the dear Lord endured for such sinners as you and I, we can perhaps understand just a little, perhaps of the sorrows of the body and the pain of the body, because when we think how they treated the dear Lord in so many aspects, and when they came to that final thing, when they pierced his most glorious and most wonderful hands, That had done nothing but for the good, the eternal good of those that came unto him, and those who had benefited by his hands and his dear feet, who walked upon this earth to proclaim those unsearchable riches of God and that are in Christ Jesus. They pierced his hands and his feet. Now perhaps we can just see perhaps just a little of that pain that the dear Saviour had to endure. But you see, it speaks of the travail of his soul. That holy soul, because you see, he was ever holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, and what he must have had to endure those 33 and plus years, and that he was upon this earth, and we can never fully comprehend. But what we do know that he shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. That sorrow, dear friends, that we read of in that fourth verse we read together, or that third verse first, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Or you see how it seemed as though right from the very beginning, and there was sorrow. You say, what do you mean? Well, as of course you know, and when Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem, everywhere was filled up, and they had to make that wondrous birth was performed in a stable, and there was that sorrow, my dear friend, right at the very beginning. Well, dear friends, and it continued. Herod, of course, persecuted, and that dear young life right from the very start almost. And of course I cannot continue, but you know something of those sorrows, and that the dear Lord had to endure. And then this prophecy goes on, surely hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, dear friends, first of all, then, may the dear Lord lead us as we journey along life's pathway more and more into of Christ's soul, where there was that pain, where there was that suffering. Now, dear friends, the second thing that I just briefly want to bring before you concerning the trouble of his soul and shall be satisfied, there was deliverance. What a wonderful deliverance, my dear friends. The travail of Christ's soul delivered all his dear people in that miraculous way whereby he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now look at this glorious deliverance. It sets before us, my dear friends, that glorious deliverance and that God's dear people will know something of, a deliverance from sin, death and hell. A deliverance that only the dear Lord could accomplish on behalf of his dear people, but he delivered them, my dear friend, and from all those things which would have crushed them into eternal perdition. He shall see of the trouble of his soul and shall be satisfied. And I believe, my dear friends, the dear Lord sees two things in that great deliverance whereby he is satisfied. He sees the conversion of a sinner, and he sees that salvation, that grace of salvation implanted in the heart of that poor sinner. And I believe we can follow this just up, whereby that travail of the soul and he shall be satisfied because that which he engaged himself according to the will of the Father. You see, I know this is a prophecy, but you see, prophecies are not the word of man. A prophecy is the prophecy of God, and God's prophecies very often speak of that thing which is in the mind and the counsel and the purposes of God, and they are all finished and all complete, as of course it was in this particular verse that I read out to you. There was nothing, my dear friends, that could frustrate the dear Saviour and seeing of the trouble of his soul and shall be satisfied, because, dear friend, not only was there pain and sorrow, but also there was a great deliverance. Now just pause, dear friends, here, because we want to bring it, don't we, to ourselves. We want to ask ourselves this. Do we know anything? Shall I put it in this way, as it comes to the mind? Do we know anything of the fruits of the travail of Christ's soul? Because those two fruits, there are others of course, but I always feel that if we just mention just two or three things, and you see some are unable to string many things out, but I believe we are so forgetful. But if we just look at these two things, whereby are the effects or the fruits of the travail of Christ's soul, deliverance from sin, death and hell. What an unspeakable mercy, dear friends. Whereby we are far removed by 2,000 plus years and from Christ coming into this world, and there are still those wondrous fruits, of course, we would love to see more. And we would love to live more constantly in this favour, that the dear Lord hath granted even to such sinners as you and I, the fruits, my dear friend, of the travail of his soul. And then, of course, there is joy. Oh, dear friends, what a wondrous joy there is to that soul. I believe, and of course, when I speak of the experience of God's dear people, I always like to begin with this. The Lord's a sovereign, how he teaches all his dear people. But I believe they will know something of the sorrows of sin. You know, when the Lord went into the Garden of Eden, and when our first parents had partaken of that fruit that the Lord had commanded that they should not, and he says unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. You see, dear friends, let us get this clear. Where there's sin, there's sorrow. And just think, my dear friends, of the sorrow, and that your sin and my sin hath led you to sorrow. Then when you multiply it, I don't want to be saying anything wrong, but when you multiply it by an unknown figure, those sorrows that were laid upon the dear Lord Jesus concerning the sorrows even of this woman, dear friends, it goes far, far beyond our comprehension. And of course he spoke something also to the man. And he said unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow and shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. This is what the Lord pronounced on our first parents, and it was sorrow. Sorrow, of course, not to be compared, but I just bring these 2 points because he says this, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life, and thorns also and thistles it shall bring forth, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return. Now, dear friends, what a sorrow. But that sorrow turned into joy in respect unto the travail of the soul of the dear Lord Jesus. Or how how I so little esteem the dear Lord, what I hope and trust he had done, and for such a sinner as one feels his own self. But dear friends, and we read in the scripture that sorrow and joy will come in the morning, and when that morning of the Lord Jesus Christ, that great star who heralds the morning, set forth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes and shows that poor sinner, and that he hath died, and he hath put away all your sins and all your iniquities, and they're put away in such a way whereby infinite inflexible justice is perfectly satisfied. Well, dear friends, what a wonderful deliverance. And how we should be truly grateful to the dear Lord if he had given us a little hope in his redeeming work. Now, of course, you see, not only will there be deliverance, but there will be eternal glory, my dear friend, which we so richly deserve. That eternal perdition, where we should lay under the eternal wrath, divine wrath of God, throughout an endless eternity. And the Lord, by the travail of his soul, hath reversed all these things and brought in life and light and liberty unto that lost guilty soul in that way whereby they are sealed for eternal glory. Well, what an unspeakable mercy! Of course, I could go on, but I want if it is the Lord's will, because you see, there is another great joy, and I want to just speak of this just briefly for this afternoon, and I may be able to continue this evening, because the 12th verse says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressions. Look, my dear friends, at those four things, which I trust may be made a little help unto us as we journey along life's pathway. Now the second thing is, by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Oh, dear friends, that justifying righteousness. And you see there are two things there are other things, but two things I just want to bring before you in that justifying righteousness, and that is a saving knowledge of God, not a historical knowledge, and not any knowledge, but a saving knowledge of the dear Lord, and that gift of God, that gift of faith, and to lay hold of that knowledge that the dear Lord hath granted unto us. We come now, dear friends, you know, and I love to as I see it in my poor little way, to include the whole of the Trinity. Now, dear friends, how shall we have that knowledge? I'm not speaking, of course, I would endorse it, reading of the Scriptures more often than perhaps we do, because I believe and that the soul comes into the knowledge of the Lord. But what do we want, my dear friend? We want the Holy Spirit, my dear friend, and to apply those things unto our poor heart, whereby it is his special office, where he says, that is the Holy Spirit will take of the things of Jesus, and he will reveal them unto us. And what a wonderful knowledge this is. Do we know something, dear friend, then? Of that blessed Spirit, you've come here, and there are others, of course, who attend other places of worship in this locality, you hear your pastor or your minister, can we say the Lord hath used these things? And because we know it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and to lead that soul into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, my dear friends, how can we have faith in anything if we haven't any knowledge of it? You see, we may buy an instrument for the home, for the garden, or something. I'm not making this as a comparison, but you want to have some knowledge of that thing before you purchase it. Well, dear friend, that's a simple little illustration, I know. But you know, when that Holy Spirit takes the things of Jesus and reveals them unto us, I am certain of this, that the Lord will grant that living faith and to lay hold of that knowledge that the Holy Spirit hath granted unto that poor soul. I just want to turn to what the Apostle Paul speaks of in the Epistle to the Romans, where he says, "For what saith the Scripture concerning Abraham? He said, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." He believed in God. He had first of all the knowledge of God, and the Lord, and by His good Spirit, He gave him that knowledge. I don't know, my dear friends, the Lord. I gave the Lord is a sovereign teacher, and he may teach one in one way. But what I do know is this: we shall all be taught of the need of a Saviour, and a need of His atoning sacrifice, the need of His precious blood, and we shall also need that wondrous gift of God, that gift of faith, because we read this, that Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises through unbelief. You see, dear friends, I don't want to be offensive, but I want to speak the truth to you and to myself. You know, very often we stagger at the promises through ignorance. We need the teaching of the Lord. And I believe the older we get, You will find that the teaching of the Lord is more and more important unto you, because if we are taught of the Lord, then as the Lord gave Abraham faith when he said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Look at the end of these things, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, mark these words, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now we read this: by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Now the righteous servant is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. I have already quoted he was ever holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and he was righteous in all that he had he done and all that he said. In the previous chapter, in the 13th verse, we read this: "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently; he shall be extolled, he shall be exalted and extolled, and be very high." This is the servant, oh dear friends. When we think of the dear Lord, who was equal with the Father, becoming the servant to his Father, and the servant unto his dear people. Now, what an unspeakable mercy! Not only he shall see the travail of his soul. You see, there's something I want to just refer back into that first part as it comes into the mind. And in the book of Jeremiah, where we have God's promise to a gracious return to the children of Israel in their Babylonian captivity, and he says in the 13th verse, he says, and in the cities of Judah shall the flocks pass again. Under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. The flocks, that is the church of God's dear people, they shall pass again under the hand of him that telleth them. So it appears this to my way, that they have once passed again under the hand of the Lord Jesus. Now, was it not, my dear friends, and that God the Father and chose a people, and he gave them to Christ, and I believe God saw all that the Father had given him, and he saw them in their polluted state. Now they shall pass again under the hand, the flock shall pass again under the hand of him that telleth them. What is that then, my dear friend? He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. All that the Father giveth him, my dear friends, and they shall be saved with that everlasting salvation. And you say, how do you know? Well, I'll tell you, dear friends, the word says this: the Lord knoweth them that are his. He knoweth everyone, my dear friend. The insignificant ones that they may feel, or whether they be the eminent ones. He knoweth all them, and they pass once under the hand of the Lord, as the Father gave them to the Son to redeem by his work and his precious blood, and they are now passed again under his hand, when he said he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And what a wonderful conclusion, my dear friend, that we can briefly conclude with this afternoon. For we read in the scriptures this wonderful verse that is very often on my mind, and where the Lord says to his Father, here am I, and all those that thou hast given me, not one of them is lost. For the divine counsel, purposes, and the preservation and the care, the grace and the mercy of Jehovah Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I wish, and I don't think I'm alone here. We wish we could adore more and more of those wondrous things. He shall see the travel of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Then the last point, for he shall bear their iniquities. Let me just put it as briefly as I can, for the time is almost gone. Those iniquities, my dear friends, and those iniquities that you and I have sinned against a good, kind, and a most gracious God. Those sins, my dear friends, of our youth and of our older life, and those sins that we constantly and continually sin against the dear Lord, they will in and of themselves sink us into eternal perdition. I want to be. I want you each, and I believe you are most of you. Those sins, dear friends, will sink that soul into eternal perdition. But look at what we've got to consider briefly. For he shall bear. He will bear those iniquities. We will not bear them, and they can never sink us into eternal perdition, because the dear Lord hath borne all that is due to those iniquities. And how great the sum must be, we cannot even begin to comprehend. He shall see the travel of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear. Ever remember that? May we each be able to remember this, what the dear Lord hath borne for unworthy sinners such as you and I. He's borne those sins away, whereby they can never be brought back to condemn us. That's why the dear Apostle Paul says in that commencement of the 8th chapter of Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation unto me who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Or, dear friends, do we not covet such a sweet assurance, whereby we feel and know there will be no condemnation? And when that great judge comes to judge us, and where he will find nothing to condemn us, because this glorious, precious Lord Jesus hath borne all our iniquities away. But I shall have to leave it. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.